be together. I am so honored to have had the opportunity to speak with you guys all weekend. Everything is good. Thanks for getting this sorted.
Come on.
Thank you for your desire for God. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for responding to the word of God. I have one more lesson for y'all, and it is entitled Give Life.
Oh, come on.
Give Life.
Come on, bro.
You know, in scripture, there is a principle that we are to give to others what has been given to us by God. Sort of like a spiritual pay it forward. Y'all familiar with that concept of pay it forward?
Yeah, I've heard
it. Yeah, you might go to like McDonald's or something, buy your meal, but then say, hey, here's $10 on the next person's meal. All right, that's spiritual pay it forward. It's that kind of idea. We have received forgiveness, so we are to give forgiveness to others. We have received mercy, so we are to give mercy to others. We've received instruction in the word, and so we give instruction in the word to others. We strive to be faithful and trustworthy because God himself has proven to be faithful and trustworthy to us. We love because he loved us first. He brought light into our lives, so we are to become a light and shine into other people's lives. You see what I'm saying? In the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, Paul's giving a long spiel about the resurrection, and there's a cool phrase in there about Jesus. It says, Jesus became a life-giving spirit. The Spirit of Christ has secured for us forgiveness and power and a place in the eternal kingdom of God. The Spirit of Christ lives within baptized disciples and gives us everything we need. The Bible tells us that the Spirit within us prays on our behalf when we don't know what to say. The Bible says that the Spirit within us urges us toward the will of God, that he prompts us to do the right things, that he protects us, and that he empowers us. He is a Spirit who gives life. And on principle, just like we've gotten love from God and therefore we give that, and just like we've received forgiveness from God and therefore we give that to other people, just like we have been shown mercy and therefore are merciful, just like we give instruction in the word because we've received instruction in the word, and just like we strive to be faithful because God himself is faithful, just like we love because he loved us first, and just like we become lights as a result of his light shining on us, if we have been given life, we are called to be givers of life.
Right.
It's a little hot, huh?
Yeah.
He just said, I'm hot. Thanks, Matt. There are words and phrases that we use to talk about this calling. And because they're so common, they can lose their meaning for us. You know, we talk about evangelizing. We talk about sharing our faith. We talk about the mission to go fishing. We talk about planting seeds. We talk about meeting new people. But you know what all of those things boil down to? You know what all those phrases are meant to get us to focus on? Giving life to people who don't have it. If you have received a faith as precious as ours, and if you've been enlightened, and if you've tasted the heavenly gift, and if you've shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and the powers of the coming age, and you've kept all of that to yourself, you don't understand the value of what's been given to you. And you're selfish. If we've been given life, and if we're living in a manner worthy of that calling, we won't be able to help ourselves from becoming livers and givers of life. When God does something for us, it's meant to be more than just for us. Turn with me to Psalm 107. This is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. I dare say it's my favorite passage in the Old Testament. So again, I say when God does something for us, it isn't meant to be just for us. Now, he's happy to do it for us. He also has purposes far beyond what we can imagine for the things that he does for us. We're going to read a bit of a long passage here, okay? So just buckle in. We're going to read it. Psalm 107 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. All right, quick break here. When you have been redeemed, you have a story to tell of what God has done. We got to do everything necessary. We got to do whatever it takes to be consistently in the mental state and the emotional state that will remember the story of what God has done in our lives to redeem us. Let us never forget what God has done for us. Yeah. In verse 2, we'll continue reading here. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. Those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. He turned rivers into a desert, flowing springs into thirsty ground, and fruitful land into a salt waste because of the wickedness of those who live there. He turned the desert into pools of water and the parched ground into flowing springs. There he brought the hungry to live, and they founded a city where they could settle. They sowed fields and planted vineyards that yielded a fruitful harvest. He blessed them, and their numbers greatly increased, and he did not let their herds diminish. Then their numbers decreased, and they were humbled by oppression, calamity, and sorrow. He who pours contempt on nobles made them wander in a trackless waste. But he lifted the needy out of their affliction and increased their families like flocks. The upright see and rejoice, but all the wicked shut their mouths. Let the one who is wise heed these things and ponder the loving deeds of the Lord. There's a sort of chorus that rings out through this psalm and a bridge that leads to it. The psalmist is describing people's lives in their various circumstances, and in each case it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distress. Or it says, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. And then the chorus goes, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. The last time when that phrase comes up again, it says, let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders. Our God delivers us. He leads us by a straight way. He satisfies and he fills. He saves and he brings us out of darkness. He breaks away chains. He even breaks down gates of bronze. He cuts through bars of iron. He sends his word out and it heals us. And he rescues us from the grave. He stills the storm to a whisper and he brings us to a safe place. He blesses us. He lifts us up and he causes us to grow. Think about all the things that this one psalm says about what God does. And because of all of that, what it says is as we see what he has done, as we recount what he has done for us in our lives, what we do is we give him thanks.
Yeah.
For his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And what we should do next is tell the story of our redemption. Wow. We have the power to give life just by sharing with others how God gave life to us. It's powerful. I think we should praise God for that.
Yeah.
You know, many in here need to learn what it means to cry out to the Lord in your trouble. You've not chosen to do that yet. You're still going on your own way thinking that you can figure out a way to deliver yourself. You cannot. Many others in here need to learn again what it means to cry out to the Lord in your trouble. You've been a disciple some time and you think you got it going on. You've had some good quiet times. You know the Bible well enough and you're good. You don't need to rely on God any further. That's a misstep. When God delivers and redeems, and when that reminds us of all the other times that he has delivered and redeemed us, we need to speak out and tell the story of how he showed us his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds. You know, we've been talking about no longer viewing things from a worldly point of view from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. A worldly point of view in this area focuses more on what we see than on the fact that we've been set free. A worldly point of view in this area focuses more on what we see, or maybe what we do not see happening in our lives, then it focuses on the fact that we've been set free. We play this game of, if I'm having a good day, I'll give someone else a chance to get life.
Wow.
The passage in 2 Corinthians says later on in verse 19 and 20 that he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. It says that we are Christ's ambassadors and that God makes his appeal through us. Ambassadors don't do their job depending on whether they feel good or not.
Come on, bro.
They'll get fired.
Wow.
They recognize that they are emissaries on behalf of an entity far greater than they. They recognize the importance of the matters with which they have been entrusted. Choosing to give someone a chance at life has nothing to do with how you are doing on a given day.
Wow.
The stars shouldn't need to align for you to give someone a chance at true life. You shouldn't need to feel like you're walking on cloud nine. You shouldn't trick yourself into thinking that you have to be having the best day spiritually in order to give someone else a chance at life. It's not about you. It's not about us and how we are doing. It's about God and what he has repeatedly done for you and for mankind. You know, in 1982, the Chicago church was planted, and that's where I was converted. And people, all it really came down to was people were eager to tell their story and share about God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. So disciples gave thanks to the Lord and exalted him in the assembly of the people, and many people in Chicago chose to cry out to God in their trouble and were given life as a result. In that same year, the London church was planted because, again, disciples were eager to tell their story and to share about God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And then in 1988, the six-year-old London church, they sent a mission team of eight people to plant a church in India. They went to a city called Bangalore. The disciples were eager to tell their story and share about God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. They wanted to give people in Bangalore, India, a chance to have true life. Then in 1994, the six-year-old Bangalore church, they sent a team of eight people to an island off the coast called Sri Lanka. It's a nation. The disciples were eager to tell their story. And again, what were they doing? They were going to share about God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, and they wanted to give the people in Colombo, Sri Lanka, a chance at true life. After a year of being there in 1995, God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind were shared with a woman named Gwen. She was a mother of four children. And she cried out to him in her trouble. He saved her from her distress, and she was baptized into God's church in Sri Lanka. Her oldest son is a man named Keith. Keith saw his mom's faith, saw God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind at work in his mother, and on April 9th in the year 2000, he was given life through baptism into Christ. Their family of four and the mom, so five of them total, they moved to Chicago, got a visa on a crazy chance, and they moved to Chicago. And after Keith finished high school, he enrolled at a school in Chicago called the University of Illinois Chicago. And in the fall of 2007, Keith studied the Bible with a mega-talented Venezuelan sophomore majoring in economics. And after hearing of God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds to mankind, he received new life in the waters of baptism in December 2007. And just after a few weeks, this new life-having Venezuelan brother, he was at a basketball game at UIC. Now, UIC's basketball team's not even good. All right? You've probably never seen them. They don't make it to the tournament. They don't even get to the NIT tournament. They're bad. But people go just to go there and have fun, hang out with each other. And over winter break, a student org at UIC decided to go together. And this Venezuelan brother laid his eyes on a girl who came, and she caught his eye. He couldn't stop talking to her. Invited her out to church, shared about what God had been doing in her life, talked about his wonderful deeds for mankind, and he invited her out to devotional. And she started coming out to things and seeing God's unfailing love for herself. Now, their relationship grew, although she wasn't a disciple yet, and this brother, he was having deep feelings for her, and he wanted to date her. And so one of the brothers, Keith, the brother, again, from Sri Lanka now, the story kind of comes together here in the middle, who had been converted 8 years earlier in Sri Lanka as a result of this missions work going on around the world. He went over to this brother's dorm to encourage him to give her some space to study the Bible.
Amen.
Back off, bro. Let her learn about God. And also, he was encouraging him to share his faith with other people and to talk about God's wonderful deeds to mankind with other people. At the end of that conversation, they decided to share their faith on his dorm floor, and the first room was the dorm room next door. It was February of 2008. I'm chilling in my dorm room, twisting my dreads. I had dreads to the middle of my back. I should have shown a picture. I'm watching Real World on MTV, and I hear a knock on the door in the common area. I'm in the common area of my dorm. There's like kind of a dorm suite, and then the rooms were off on the side. And not only did I hear a knock, but I hear the door clicking open. I'm like, whoa, this person knocked and walked in. And I look and I see this Indian looking dude, and I'm like, I don't know him. And I see my RA kind of looking around the corner, like peeking in, but doesn't want to come in all the way. And the Indian dude says, yo, my name is Keith, bro. We're having a Bible discussion tomorrow in the study room at the end of the hall, and you should come. So I went the next day, and I heard about God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And I studied the Bible for maybe 7 or 8 days out of the next 12 days. And on February 17th, after less than 2 weeks, I was baptized into Christ. Through the eagerness of disciples to plant the church in Chicago and tell of his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, and the disciples going to London and ending up in Bangalore, all the way to Sri Lanka, and the blessing coming back to the States through my boy Keith, because of all these people being eager to tell God's unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, I was given a chance to cry out to the Lord in my trouble. I was baptized that day, and it all happened because God had done incredible things through time and through people who are willing to tell other people what he's done. The girl in that story who got reached out to at the basketball game and was dating that brother before she was baptized? That was my wife. What do you hear in that whole story? What are you, isn't that crazy? I mean, look, God can work through anyone who is willing to open their mouth, even a brother with low conviction. God used that brother to save both me and my wife. If it hadn't been for their attraction to one another and for that D time that Keith went and had and all that conviction he had with that brother and the things that went into it all those years prior with people from around the world working together to proclaim God's love and his wonderful deeds for mankind, I can't say that I would be here right now. I can't say that I'd be living true life as a saved disciple, grateful as a husband to my wife, and a proud father to my son. My life is beautiful all because of what people chose to do with telling about God's love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. There are more stories like this waiting to happen, but it'll only happen if we choose to be people who give people life. We'll close out with this passage here. We're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2.
Stop, Maurice.
Ephesians 2. In verse 1, it says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." We were once dead in our transgression and sin. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It's the truth. We used to gratify the cravings of our flesh and follow its desires and thoughts. We were deserving of wrath, is what the scripture tells us. But because of God's love for us and his mercy toward us, God made us alive with Christ. And he raised us up and seated us with Christ in the place of highest honor. It's incredible. And verse 10 tells us that this is all true because we are God's handiwork. And we have been created to do good works that were prepared long in advance. We're saved by grace through faith. We aren't saved because of what we do or by what we do. We're saved by the grace of God and a response of faith. We can't do anything to merit redemption. We can't do anything to merit entrance into the kingdom of God that he has so graciously provided for us. The salvation God gives us is a gift. But it is a gift that is meant for more than just you. Those he saves for a purpose. He has work for us to do. We are saved by grace, but we are saved for works. We are saved by grace, but we are saved for works. Live strong in the grace of God, but get to work on being a giver of life. It is the one thing you were saved to accomplish. These life-giving works, understand this, they were prepared for you to complete before time even began. Amen?
Amen.
We've so enjoyed our time here, and you know, if God wills it, we can't wait to be back or to see you at a future conference somewhere. But I want to express, we are a team.
Yeah.
We're pulling for y'all to do incredible things, to build God's household and to be givers of life. And if you know anyone that maybe you went to high school with or that transferred from your college who goes to school in Chicago, reach out to them and tell them about your incredible God. Give them an opportunity to have redemption. Connect them to us on Instagram because we're working together to save the world. We can work together to do that. Apply to our MIT program if you've already done the one here. Brothers, come out and take sisters out on dates. Sisters, come out and the brothers will take care of you. Let's knit together and tell the story of our redemption. Let's tell him his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind together. Amen? Yeah. Thank you.